You're listening to KBOO, KBOO Portland 90.7 FM. Next up is Calculated Conversation with David and Ken. KBOO programming is made possible by KBOO member listeners and support from Siren Nation, presenting Lady Sings the Blues, a tribute to Billie Holiday, Saturday, May 4th at the Alberta Rose Theater, featuring performances from Arietta Ward, Pacific Trio, The Cabin Project, Sarah Clark, and many more. Minors welcome with a parent or guardian. Tickets and more information online at albertarosetheater.com.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Zenith Tar Sands Oil Expansion Community Forum on Thursday, May 2nd at 6:30 p.m. at the Augustana Lutheran Church in Portland. This is the fourth community forum about Zenith Energy's ongoing expansion of their Portland Tar Sands Oil facility. The panel will discuss how this facility's operations can harm people, urban wildlife, rivers, and air quality, as well as background on the terminal site, climate justice impacts, ideas for public action, and more. Again, that's the Zenith Tar Sands Oil Expansion Community Forum on Thursday, May 2nd from 6:30 to 9 p.m. at the Augustana Lutheran Church, 2710 Northeast 14th Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events. KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Roots in Harmony Cathedral Park Performing Arts Collective benefit on Saturday, May 4th at 6 p.m. at the Wayfinding Academy in Portland. Roots in Harmony is the third annual benefit show and silent auction to support the Cathedral Park Performing Arts Collective. There will be live music and theater performances, a seasonally inspired meal, a silent auction, and more. Again, that's the Roots in Harmony Cathedral Park Performing Arts Collective benefit on Saturday, May 4th at 6 p.m. at the Wayfinding Academy, 8010 North Charleston Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO 90.7 FM in Portland, Oregon, bridging the gap between prisons, prisoners, and the community. This is Mumia Abu-Jamal.
And now I'm living in correctional facilities. Cause some don't agree with how I do this. I get straight and meditate like a Buddhist. I'm dropping flavor, my behavior is hereditary, but my technique is very necessary. Blame it on Ice Cube, because he said it get funky when you got a subject and a predicate. Add it on a dope beat and it'll make you think. Some suckers just tickle me pink to my stomach, cause they don't flow like this one. You know what? I won't hesitate to diss one or two before I'm through, so don't try to sing this. Some drop science, well I'm dropping English. Even if Yella makes it a cappella, I still express yo, I don't smoke weed or sass, cause it's known to give a brother brain damage.
Welcome back. It's the Calculated Conversation Radio Show. It's your host DJ
and Ken Jones.
Ken Jones.
Yeah.
We back. It's a pleasure to be on air with you guys. Thanks for listening. The love is abundant. It is nice for real today.
Man.
It's not like, we in Oregon, so it ain't like it just look nice and it's freezing, but it's actually nice today. And so I'm happy to see that. I've seen a lot of good energy today, some good vibes.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, that's that season where you got to clean the door jams too. Don't just run through the car wash. You got to get inside the door jams and get all them parts.
Right, right. And I had the outside looking spiffy.
Right. And crack that door open and it's
inside looking iffy. No, but yeah, we feeling blessed. We feeling grateful. Coming off a wonderful first anniversary mixer that we did last Friday. Several of y'all showed up, man, and that was just the icing on the cake for everything that we do. You know? I mean, we just felt the energy in there. It was crazy. We felt the appreciation. You know, everybody was like in full eye contact. They was listening. They was tuned in. They was calculating in their heads, and you know, they was really, really retaining the information, and definitely engaged with us into a wonderful and profound conversation, just about you know, the usual formulas that we like to touch on a regular basis. So
yeah, that space, definitely shout out to the Mingle Lounge. That was I felt like that space was perfect. The setup of that, you know, keeping it small and intimate. Sound system was good. It flowed well.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah, and the drinks was good. They had the bar open, so adult beverages was happening.
A lot of freedom, and I mean, it wasn't too packed. It wasn't empty. You know, you had the right amount of room to move around.
Right.
We met some people we've never met before. I know I met a few people that said they listen every single day. You know, I just thought that was amazing.
Right.
And I'd never seen these people before.
That's dope.
Just to kind of make that connection and put a, you know, put a face with an ear.
You know what I'm saying?
Instead, like they say, put a face with a name, put a face with an ear, you know, and then shake some hands and stuff. And, you know, just feeling all the love, man. I just think that made it even much more worth it, because it was a Friday afternoon or evening. Tough to move around around that time in traffic. We had people come from Salem, like deep Tualatin. You know, deep North Portland, you know, these are people that made sure that they were there, you know, and they made a commitment, you know, and they really, really do appreciate the show, and they proved it, you know, big time.
And so
we don't take that for granted at all, you know. I wanted to give a couple shout outs to the people that I connected with and recognized. I know that Matt Ellis pulled up, you know, he said he listened pretty much every single day that we on air. You know, we got the photo. He didn't want to call in, but you know what I'm saying? He said he's a little shy, but if you out there, Matt, we appreciate it.
Definitely.
Amber came through. I seen a buddy of mine named Trayla. Cisco came all the way from out in Hillsboro somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, Pauline slid in out there from Hillsboro area. Little Donnie came. Tanya came all the way from Salem. And Latrice came from all the way, probably from southeast, northeast somewhere. So they really made their way down there. Is my main point, and I just wanted to make sure that those people know we appreciate. It was more than that, Ken. Some people that pulled up too.
We had Laura, Miss Wilson. Shout out Miss Wilson. Shout out Laura, and then we had Am and Morgan, which is also my podcast mate.
Yeah.
And shout out to Am too for making sure the things were set up as far as the audio. Also a DJ Ambush. That's his full name. I call him Am. But yeah, make sure we was good. Just plug and play for the most part. Turn power on, press play, and everything else worked.
Oh, yeah. Major shout out to little boss Alyssa Black was in the building. She came about an hour late, but she still got the, she still heard the music. But yeah, so man, I was grateful though. I really appreciated that. You know, I definitely feel like that was, I've done a lot of events within fashion in the community, you know, a lot of shows and, you know, expos and just a lot of stuff, man. And that was definitely the most important event I've been a part of. Absolutely.
Didn't it feel right though? Like sitting, like once it got rolling, you know, there was the moment of like, this is comfortable.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Not that that thought it would be uncomfortable or anything, but it was just something once we got going. And then the moments where, you know, we was running back audio clips from over the periods, throwing those in and just seeing, you know, the people's reaction in the moment, you know, listening back in. Mm-hmm. So it was dope reliving those moments with the live audience.
Yeah, right.
And hearing the actual reactions and thinking like, you know, there's people listening in at home kind of having these reactions.
Right.
You know, and that just being able to kind of see that live, and then people being able to ask them follow up, seeing the facial expressions and, you know, having the little couple moments of, you know, people definitely feeling the words that were being spoken.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, that was, especially with the, with the phone calls. You know, we played a couple of our special phone calls that came in over the last year that that really touched us. You know, and we played clips from some of our favorite interviews. I mean, all of them were amazing, but we had to pick a few just for the cause of the night.
Yeah, yeah.
We picked one from OG1, one from Third Twin, one from Giovanni. Who else?
We had Tyasha.
Tyasha.
Who else was in the mix? I feel like it was, there was another.
I think that might have been it.
I think we had some more in queue. Yeah. But we're trying to keep in that, keeping our timeline.
Yeah, so we can talk.
Right, right.
And then people ask questions, and, you know, they ask some amazing, amazing questions. You know, we had a chance to really, really get in our element, you know, in the flesh instead of just being, you know, live on air where you can't see us. I mean, people had a chance to see our expressions, see all my crazy hand movements because I'd be so serious. They're like, is this dude trying to fly out the building or what? Like, you know, but, you know, they got a chance to, you know, make eye contact with us and shake hands and hug and, you know, took some pictures and, you know, and actually just feel some real even more tangible energy than you feel, I think, when we on air.
And I think, too, the mixture of people, that was one of the things I was, you know, kind of putting my eye on, is just the range of what was out there. Taking myself out of, you know, I may know some of these people. I know some of the people, or they at least they were familiar. But just taking a moment where I looked up and just kind of looked around and was like, you know, on the street, thinking of walking down the street.
Right.
This isn't just a group. This isn't the people that would be in a single group typically.
Right.
And it was so many fractions that came together as a whole number, and that was dope.
Yeah, I know. And everybody kind of on the same energy wave, and you never really get that many people either that conscious or really appreciating that level of consciousness in the same area. Right. You know, you see one every probably 100 people.
Yeah.
You know, oh yeah, and big shout out to Jazz Wilder. She pulled up all the way from like Tualatin somewhere.
Yeah.
You know her, right?
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
And so yeah, it was pretty cool, man. I had something to say that was important, but I talked too much, so I forgot. what else? Where we at, Ken?
I was thinking, with that, the only thing was the looking at the photos after that, I realize y'all got to start using flash.
Yeah, yeah.
Taking pictures of this skin in the darkness.
Right, right. It looked like we was hiding in the closet with two other people.
In here peeking out.
So that was the only thing. We got to kind of step up our, get rid of that Nokia and get one of them iPhones or them new Galaxies or something.
Nah, but I definitely came out of there, you know, when we wrapped up and kind of got to mingling around, came out of that with a crazy good energy that flowed off of there. Again, it felt natural.
Yeah.
And it's just something about, you know, interacting in that way and getting that, and not even that it's like for any type of gratification and instant feedback, but it still is something. I understand now why people, you know, perform, why people do certain things in front of crowds, speaking to crowds, because kind of that energy, it goes back and forth. You give it out and it comes back to you. You know what I mean?
Right.
And that kind of just fuel you to kind of keep going, keep running with it.
Right.
Yeah. And then even seeing the questions that were being asked, it wasn't, these were actually some complex questions.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like they had thought about what was being said. It wasn't a quick like, oh yeah. But actually took something in it, so it kind of, you know, just tell you where the mindset was at for the people who were there.
Right. I think my favorite question was I think Tanya asked about the, you know, so many words, just, you know, how do you, you know, in on the brink of, you know, just trying to be more positive and trying to make that transition. And, you know, how do you handle that when you're freshly in it, you know, and all the pressures with going back negative? You know, I think we went super deep on that answer.
Right.
But that was an amazing question, because I think a lot of people really want to be positive, but don't really, you know, because there's a lot of pressure, again, when you first start to make the transition.
Right.
I mean, because you got to decide against your natural inclinations, and then, you know, your newfound inclinations, mm-hmm. which is more of a long-term thinking process. And, you know, a lot of people don't get a chance to really calculate that far down the line, right. you know, and that's the only thing that's going to save you is how far you're looking down the line right. And what results that you want, which is, again, why calculating your conversation and actions is important. But one thing I did say at the event that I want to say again today to reiterate is that, you know, big shout out to me and Cam for, you know, putting this together and making it happen. Hey. But you know, also, like I said, a huge shout out to the people that actually care about calculated conversation and some people that think is useful and people that, you know, try to share it and people that teach it to their family and their kids and, you know, use some of the lingo and some of the mm-hmm. some of the formulas, because you got to understand, we live in a world where this is not really readily taught anywhere. And so for us to have this conversation, you know, as Black men coming from the streets, is really not, it's not taken too well from where we come from, you know. And I know a lot of people think, you know, we get weird and we're always talking positive and it don't make no sense or it just can't be real and, you know, such and so forth. But for the people that actually do understand it or are trying to and see the value in it and choose to, you know, be loyal to us and the movement, you know, and the energy, you know, even amidst all the, you know, the pressure to be normal and be like everybody else. I mean, you really got to salute yourself on that, because that means there's something within you that's special and that's great to even be able to acknowledge this. Because, I mean, just to acknowledge this takes a lot of work and a right. whole lot of reflection and appreciation for what's not said and what's not been taught and wanting something different, you know. And yeah. I think that's huge, man, because I don't know a lot of people that kind of accept this with open arms. They think it's some type of brainwashing cult or something. You know what I mean? And so it's like, and it's really way more simple than that. But, you know, but shout out to you guys that even care, man. Yeah. Like, you may not be that good at it. You may not be a pro. You may not be able to word it all the time. And right. But just shout out to you for caring about it, because that's just huge. You know, yeah. it takes a special person to even care.
I think that question you said, Tanya.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, that definitely was one. You know, that definitely for me, because I know we both gave some feedback on it, right. and kind of just that idea of this isn't a, I wake up tomorrow, this is what I'm doing. And it's batting 100 on it, right. like, and expressing that. And what's interesting is later on, after that, I was thinking about that. I was thinking about kind of the feedback in there, or giving feedback to that conversation in my head. And, was wild as I had written something a while ago based off of something I was reading, and it said, forgive others with no strings attached, forgive yourself, start the day confidently, keep up with yourself and not the Joneses. And I feel like the response that I gave when she asked that question was essentially that go a little bit easier on yourself.
Yeah.
This is one of those things that it's a constant. It's right. a constant, right. and it's not always going to work out how you think, right. you know what I mean? Right. And there's going to be those moments where old patterns jump over the new things, yeah. you know what I mean? And right. and those take charge. But the thing is, consistency is going to start making those happen in less and less,
mm-hmm.
where
right.
your old isn't going to be able to have the same legs that they once had, you
right.
know what I mean?
Right.
It ain't going to have that same bounce.
Right.
And at that point, the new is going to be higher and higher. That gate is rising higher and higher. So there's going to become a point where, okay, this is what jumps in the front.
Right.
That new way of thinking. Yes. You know what I mean? But in those moments, it's also recognizing that, okay, my old ways of thinking got me in this moment.
Right.
That's what got me right here. And that happens.
Right.
It happens. That doesn't mean just throw it all out and now just say, I can't do this.
Right.
I can't do this. I got to stick with what I know. That's the consistency piece, and I just felt like coming across those words
yeah.
after, it's being able to say, like, yeah, I blew that one.
Right, yeah,
so,
yeah, yeah.
But we're going to hit this tomorrow, or we're going to hit this on this next go, and we're going to try it again.
Yeah,
you know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah. No, I mean, that's so true, man, because, I mean, I can't, you know, stress it enough that I feel like sometimes, I ain't going to say so much as you, but I'm going to say more or less me. I make it sound like it's like that easy, like it's
right.
so easy, because like I'm so accustomed to it.
Right, right.
And now it's like first nature to me now, you
right.
know, to respond to situations in a calculatory fashion. Right. Even though that's not no word, I made it up. Sound good though.
Trademark,
write that down.
Trademark.
You know, but you know, I, you know, and so because it took a while, man. You right. know, I've been studying this stuff for a long time, and you know, writing about it and testing myself in different arenas, and you know, and I'm just now, you know, coming to a point to where I can talk about it freely, you know, unapologetically and clearly and right. articulately.
Right.
But that's just something that takes a while, you know, and I've been really, really focused in on myself and my own
right.
vibes and energy. And so I please don't let any one of us make it seem like, you know, it's something that's just going to happen once you make your mind up. Because right. making your mind up is one thing, but making your whole body up and emotions up and
right.
And natural energy up is right. a whole nother ball game.
Right.
You know, because right. you definitely going to be tested. And most people don't pass tests until they actually study for a while.
Right.
You know, so just like, you know, right. just like.
It's a great breakdown.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. you know, just like any. And the thing is, I mean, even. If we want to go down a little deeper, like even kids could probably relate if they could see the correlation because kids play a lot of video games mm-hmm. and they don't ever get to the next level unless they do something different at some part on the
right.
game.
Right.
That's the
right.
whole, that's the thing about video games. Right. You know what I mean? Like when I get to this part, I got to do this to hop over the princess or whatever it is. And and if you do the same thing you do every time, you're just going to be man out. And every time you get to that same part,
yeah.
like in Mario, when we play Mario, you get
right.
to the dragon,
right.
you had a certain way you had to jump up
right.
and throw a ball. You had to jump up and throw a ball. If you was off that formula, then you was dead.
It's
you know?
it's crazy because it's a puzzle.
Yeah.
It's essentially a puzzle.
It's
and
all, yeah.
understanding that, okay, that piece didn't fit.
Yeah.
Okay, now I might have to put that over here and yeah. try it again. Try it here. Let me grab this other one and see if that go. You know, it's funny what you bringing up, not even funny, but, you know, you bringing up kids and thinking about people's voices, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I know a lot of the patterns in the way in which we grew up, it was a lot of, you know, don't question, right? A lot of don't question. You get in trouble. You just in trouble. Don't ask me. Don't.
Oh, remember we talked about that with Third Twin?
Right.
Nice.
And so kind of getting that shutdown and constantly having that shutdown, what that does is teaches you that your voice ain't important.
Right.
That's essentially teaching you that your voice ain't important. And that can do one of two things. Either that can silence your voice or make it louder because you don't want to be, right?
Right.
And I think there's a lot of situations that, you know, kids, we're taught authority, especially right. in our community. I mean, a lot of community, not just our community. It's a lot of places that are taught like whoever is the authority, whether that's parents, grandparents, uncles, aunts, teachers, whatever, you don't really question that right. until you're grown, right? So you've been taught for 18 years not to question.
Right.
If you are told to do something, you just do it. And I see where some of the problems are in that,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's one part of this. And then the other part that doesn't just relate to kids, but just in general, because there's just some personalities. There's, you know, other things that transition into adulthood that, and rather it's the way that just a community operates or... it's a fraction of society that's not heard because they're not valued in the way that other people are. These voices get minimized and people suffer silently because they're not able to speak up.
Right.
They may want to, but maybe can't articulate it, right?
Right.
Or they just don't have the platform. And now I'm jumping back to with the kid part of it, right? One of the things that I talk about often, my child,
mm-hmm.
and my whole thing with raising her is we can talk about it,
mm-hmm.
right? Karma's been a talker since two, three, like legitimately hold conversations way before she should be holding those type of conversations. So she's always had something, and I know everybody, we all love our kids, and they special, right? Everybody's kids are special, mine is too. And she was definitely special as far as her communication ability. And from a very young age, I would see how often that frustrated other adults, where she didn't do anything wrong. Mm-hmm. She asked the right question. She came to a conclusion that was spot on, But because it wasn't an adult saying that, kids shouldn't be thinking about two steps ahead. These dots shouldn't be connecting. And being able to articulate, you know, feelings, that's a big one. Being able to say, you know, with this, this makes me feel like this. And being in these situations where, as parents, you know I got raised, it wasn't a discussion about how I felt about any punishment or something that I was completely, I didn't do anything wrong, and I'm getting, and when I'm trying to speak up and say what actually happened, yeah, there's no time for that. There was no room for that, right? And I've always had it in my head that that's not going to be the case with dealing with my children, right? At least give the floor. At least give the floor. And I've had this thing since Karma was 3, 4, the other kids, like, make it make sense to me. And if you can make it make sense to me, then we good.
Right.
Because I don't know doesn't work. That was you.
Right.
And with that, I've found over the years, there's times that I know good and dang well one of them was lying. But the logic in it, the way they put it together, was so good that I was like, you thought through this. Even though I know that this might have happened different, I'm going to let you go with that because you put some thought in there and didn't just give me the shrug and the I don't know.
Right.
Now, going into specifically Karma, we have a lot of discussions. And my thing is, tell me. Just go.
Right.
And sometimes she's like, you know, well, I'm not trying to be mean, which is that means she's about to give you the uncut version, right? And drops it, and I let her have it. There's stuff even in our communication about something I may have did, a way I may made her feel, something that I might have fumbled on, that may have, you know, initially coming out of her mouth hit kind of like,
right.
But then having to take that into account, this is her experience. That's what you feel.
Right.
Can I argue against your feelings? Nope. And I try to instill that and push that. And I've seen a very interesting thing, excuse me, over the last, you know, 4 years that she's been here under my primary care, which is especially at school, where there's a lot of parts of her that her women teachers love and encourage. And she usually bumps heads with the male teachers.
Mm.
And, you know, we've had our, because I'll show up. I'm a advocate for my kid. I show up, but I'm an advocate not in that weird way of coming here like, my kid can't do no wrong. I lay it straight out. Like, I know her.
Yeah.
So I understand where, you know, these parts can be frustrating. Right. I understand how she talk. When she's telling me this version, I know how she talks, and I often stop her and say, no, you're giving me the here's the dad's version. No, I know how you talk. I know how you respond to certain things. And even though you may not have been trying to be aggressive or be any of these things, I understand how tone plays in to how something is said.
Right.
So you have to recognize that too, which usually I get the regular version, but one thing she's good at is admitting, like, I could have said this different, I could have done this, and then give me, you know, where the issue is. So anyways, advocating for that, and often have to question if, you know, she was a young boy, would this be different, right? Because she does speak up if she feels something's not right, feels wronged, feels something's, she's able to articulate it on top of that, which I think that's the bigger piece. There's a lot of, as kids, a lot of us who feel some type of way and we just get mad, be angry in the room, punching a pillow or something. You know what I mean? But to be able to have that voice, and I think that throws some parents off. If you've got a kid who's able to process their feelings,
right?
And then be able to articulate them in a way that isn't just sitting in a corner crying. If you don't know how to deal with that and face that, and be okay with, like, being uncomfortable for a second, because you might be...
You might get told about yourself.
Right.
Right.
And not in a way that is disrespectful. Now, you know, a kid be like, F you, Mom, F you... Then that, okay, that's extreme, but it's coming to you like, this makes me feel like this.
Right.
When this is done, or this type of situation hurts me this way.
Right.
And seeing how many times in my life of overhearing that or being in a room with that happening, and immediately the parent is like, oh, you ain't, that don't do that. That don't, no, you're telling them how they feel, how that impacted them. And what is that supposed to do? What is that teaching them?
Right.
what is that teaching them outside to don't voice this, just suffer? With an authority figure, right? Mm-hmm. Somebody that they look up to or respect a certain type of way, just to accept that and run with it.
And somebody they're supposed to be learning from and helping them become mature adults and getting ready for the world.
Right.
You know, on top of that.
And I wonder and I think about this. I remember when I was like 25, I think it was my 25th birthday, and I remember asking my pops, like, you know, how does it feel to be a parent of a 25-year-old? I thought I was old as hell, Dad, right? Mm-hmm. And I remember him saying, like, giving me this spiel about there's a day that as parents you realize your kid doesn't need you anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, they don't need you. Like, they'll still be there and call and do, but there's a point they don't need you.
Right.
And he's like, that's a reckoning day, right? He's like, and it's like, yeez. And then from there, it turns into being able to have a different type of relationship, typically,
right?
And then there also possibly comes a day that even though you realize that you have more experience in life, that they may be further along in an area than you are. Mm-hmm. And as a parent, there's one of two things. Either you're proud of that, right, and you champion that, or it makes you feel weird.
Right, right.
Because now if we try to have a conversation in that realm, for all these years, I was the supreme being. I knew all things. But now we're going back and forth and I'm the student. Yeah. And that can be, you know, shaky for some people.
Right.
And it's just interesting, you know, just how that plays out, but just to be able to be aware of that. And the bigger theme of what I'm trying to say is, you know, for the people that have a voice, to nurture that first off.
Right.
Nurture a voice. If your kids, your niece, nephew, cousin, you know, somebody has a voice and they're young, help them to build on that voice.
Right.
And now a step further as far as being adults, the same thing. For the people who haven't found their voice, don't understand how loud their voice can actually be. Think about all the people we have conversations with on the low who are kind of shy, kind of this. But we have a conversation. We have a one-on-one back and forth, and it's gems.
Right.
Jewelry falling out their mouth when they talk.
Right.
But they've not found a way to be able to amplify that, right? And being able to at least take that, and if you have that voice, to be able to use that to help amplify theirs, you know?
Because they also might have been stifled as kids, you know?
Exactly.
I mean, that could be
the
one
long-term
of the
effects.
Long-term effects, you know? So, yeah, I definitely, man, you said a mouthful with that, bro. You know, being able to nurture those voices and not become offended by the fact that, you know, times are different. You know, your child is learning things that you could never have learned,
man.
You know, and that's just the facts.
Man.
You know, and they're learning to speak, they're growing, they're having experiences separate from you. And all these experiences are part of becoming part of their formula, you know. And I think as a parent, you got to decide, you know, what's more important. I mean, you know, do you want your kid to be, you know, aware, growing, mentally competent, you know, and able to handle the ever-changing world? Or do you just want to always be right?
Hey, right there.
You know?
Bazinga.
And that's the goal, you know. I remember, I feel like I've always been. Oh, number one, we talking too much. So let's give y'all the phone number because we love somebody to call in. 503-231-8187. If you want to call in, please do. If you got something to touch on this subject, we'd love to hear it. Your experience, your advice, or just what you think about the subject overall. We'd definitely appreciate it. Again, it's the Calculated Conversation Radio Show. The whole idea is to kind of, you know, just kind of start to, you know, create conversation over certain things that normally doesn't get addressed, I think, or sometimes just kind of put on the back burner, or sometimes just already assumed without proper conversation.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of issues in this world is not because there's any ill intent in between human beings, mostly just because conversations haven't taken place, and so people don't have the information to make each other feel valid, you know, I feel like. And so, but, you know, yeah, man, you know, with that conversation, you know, I remember being 14 years old, man, and really feeling like, my mom was not giving me real information, not mm-hmm. listening, not caring to how I felt. Mm-hmm. You know, and I felt like I was sort of intelligent, you know, at 14. Mm-hmm. I was in ninth grade. You know, I was kind of starting to think for myself, and mm-hmm. I could just feel it happening.
Yeah.
You know, and she was one of those moms in the beginning. I mean, always wanted the best for me, but didn't really allow me to really challenge anything or speak up, you mm-hmm. know. And so I had to write her a letter one time when I was 14. You know, I don't remember the details exactly, but I do remember writing a letter and leaving it, you know, on her dresser saying, you know, Mom, I'm 14. I'm growing up, you know. And
got hair on my chest.
Yeah, I got some hair on my chest. You ain't seen it yet. But I'm starting to, I'll never forget this. I don't know where I even got the word from. I said, but I'm starting to formulate my own opinions. Ooh. Yeah. I know she's like, who do you think he is?
Shout out Rita Rainbow.
Yeah, but, you know, I remember saying that because, I mean, I felt like, you know, high school, your daughter in high school, or she getting, close?
Year. Yep.
Yeah, when you're getting around that 13, 14, yeah, I feel like you're starting to think a little bit more than you mm-hmm. was in middle school and in the early days of middle school and elementary, mm-hmm. you know. And your parents, are a lot of time, they're trying to protect you and, you know, nurture you, but a lot of times they don't really let you learn and think, you know, and sometimes that can be detrimental to your development as a human being. Okay, cool. You know, sometimes that's detrimental, man, and it's a hard thing because, I mean, a lot of times I feel like adults don't think kids even know what they're talking about.
That part.
And a lot of that's because they don't really understand the amount of experiences that's happening, especially with the advent and popularity of social media, of the internet, Google, doing everything on your phone is a wealth of information. And, you know, your kids definitely should be able to talk to you about anything that's bothering them or that they're learning, as long as they're not attacking you, you know, and, you know, and putting up their defenses on you and things like that. You know, we should be able to have a conversation. That's how we get closer. And I like what you said about, you know, like what your dad said as a 25-year-old or just anybody outside the house, like we don't really need each other now.
Right.
And so I think, and that's something I think about with my own family, right. You know, brothers, aunties, cousins, anybody, like, you know, we lived together at one point, you know, we needed each other. We had to live together, right. Parents, everybody. Right. When we get out that house, our relationships are not bound by necessity. They're bound by respect and appreciation at this point.
Yeah.
You know, and when that doesn't happen, you know, relationships start to fold and they start to buckle. Hey. You know, and so I think that's something we have to keep in mind. Nobody has to do anything for you once you guys are you know, living separately and learning and working and surviving independently. Everything is based off respect and love and appreciation at this point.
Yes.
You know, and somebody having a platform to be able to speak to you, you know, honestly, you know, positively, clearly, and factually. You know, and so that's something that we really got to be considerate. You know, once your kids is out, man, you know, you have to be their friend as well now. Hey. You know, they say you'd have to be your friend when they live with you, but if you want to keep it going, you definitely need to be their friend after they move out. So I know we got a phone call. I understand Lindy's on the line who has a conversation to create with us, or continue, should I say.
Continue, please.
Lindy, what's happening?
I like what you're saying. I like that you're wanting to listen to the kid and be considerate.
Yes.
And respectful, you know, that doesn't always happen. And then the kid grows up and they aren't necessarily being considerate or respectful mm-hmm. to anybody else.
Right.
Yep.
Not going to help them in life, you know. So I just really like what you're saying, and I wanted to let you know that because I can remember things. Oh, God, I'm 69 years old. I can remember things when I was 5. When I was, you know, when people treated me in a way that made me feel embarrassed and ashamed, or, you know, for just being a little kid.
Right.
You know, just doing things like, oh, the one I got the most was talking in class.
Hey, I did too.
But, it's, you know, this, what you're saying is important, that, you know, you're listening and you're respecting the kid you know, it's just, I really appreciate it, and I wanted to thank you, fellas, for saying what you're saying.
We appreciate you, Lindy.
Lindy, thanks for calling. That's a lot of love there.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
All right. Yeah. And she was right on point, you know, listening, being there, just wanting to know what they know. I mean, there's nothing worse than a person not feeling understood, you know, and I don't think that a lot of people really can comprehend that on the level that it needs to be on.
Right.
You know, not understanding people will literally draw a clear, clean wedge between you two, because nobody wants to go where they're not understood.
Man.
And you want to be available to the information that they've developed, that they've learned in school or through friends or through social media, or media, just regular media, whatever, right, whatever right. it is. You want right. to know, you need, you just kind of want to know what they know and what they think about it, so you can address that from, you know, a more worldly view to make sure that they on top. Go ahead and see these things, understand these things, watch these things, but just let me make sure that you understand what they mean so that you can know how to maneuver around them or through them or whatever you need to do to be successful.
You know, it's interesting because I was having this thought the other day driving, and I was like, you know, it hit me, like, I've been a parent longer than I've not been a parent,
right,
at 34 years old. Right. I'm 20 years in the game, and with that, had the thought of, you know, I know a lot of people go to, like, these kids and their social medias, and I'm a lot more realistic. Like, had I had this, I would have been using this, right?
Right.
This is just, it's never going to be what it was, and there's so many people caught up on what was and how it used to be. Yeah, a lot of our parents didn't have phones in their rooms.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, there wasn't an extra house phone. So it's a lot of things that that we took advantage of that were not things that were taken advantage of before. And these kids are taking advantage of the communication outlets that they have in front of them.
Right.
Right. Right. And essentially, like, I guess my take on it is my kids have to go through a lot of just experiences of growing up.
Right.
I can't save them from those experiences. What I can do mm-hmm. is give them a bunch of information right. for when these things pop up, you have a reference.
Yeah.
You have something to be able to think about. Something may flash in your head because we talked and I explicitly highlighted these things. Now, with that, I also understand that our parents dumped a lot of information into us that we didn't use. Mm-hmm. I make sure to make my information very specific and not general, right? Is it going to work, again, across the board? No. Like, I don't have this understanding, and I make sure to highlight to these kids. I don't expect you to just navigate and not know. You're going to have to get your feelings hurt. You're going to hurt somebody's feelings. Mm-hmm. You're going to do a lot of things. You're going to go to a party. There's a lot of things you're gonna do, and for me to sit and just be concerned with, no, my concern is that I made sure to talk to you so you can never grow up and say, nobody told me. That's the bigger part, right? And you'll find that a lot of times your kids pay attention if you're actually engaging, right. Having these back and forths, and, you know, me being lucky enough to have my child 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, most weeks, mm-hmm. most months, I'm able to have that. Now, with that being said, I'm also not oblivious to the fact that I'm her dad. I've never been a young girl.
Right.
So there's a lot I don't know. A lot I have no, like, I go her time of the month and she's her. I go buy half of the wall of pain medicine. I don't know.
Right.
I just get whatever's over there. Right. You know what I mean? As long as it's going to help, then we about to go run a bill up on whatever's on the left side of the pain meds.
Right.
You know what I mean? If right. that's what's going to help. I don't have any reference points, so I don't know what pain level 1 is versus 10.
Right.
I don't know. But if you tell me this, then I'm running with that. Right. Right? Now, with that being said, it's also another layer of, I have to understand that this is her life. Like, this is what she's building from. Think about us recalling being 14, 15,
yeah.
right? And like you said, thinking you're smart. Like, I know I was intelligent. You know you were intelligent. I feel she's intelligent. I feel these kids are very intelligent. Mm-hmm. 'Cause I feel they got way more tools at their disposal, right? And as you said, as long as this isn't combative and in a way, and they're coming and at least opening their mouth, I think about my coworkers and stuff who often talk about, oh, teenager, oh, you can get ready. And I'm thinking, like, I've not had that experience of my kids shutting down or slamming doors. Like, I have zero of those
exactly.
experiences. Exactly. So I can't relate to that. There's a different type of balance, you know, when it comes to me and my children.
Right.
again, is it right? Is it wrong? No, there's no return on investment in kids until they're 30. That's my beliefs. I'm going to stand firm in those. You know what I mean? Right. That's when you'll start seeing, because that's when those things make sense. The same way we became 30 plus, and a lot of the things that were said to us as teenagers, as early 20-somethings, started to connect and make more sense.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. There's also a lot of things that was told to us as gospel, and we broke down that. Right. Like, no, that's not how that works.
Exactly.
That's not how that works. And I just want to make sure that, you know, when it comes to these kids, we're making sure that what works for them. Right. There's no blanket approach. What works for them? And if you sit and listen for a while, you'll learn, because they'll tell you
right.
what works for them.
Right.
Even if that didn't work for you or yeah. the immediate 10 people in your life,
right.
they'll tell you.
Yeah, and to follow up that, I mean, times just, they just change a lot, you know?
Man.
And the world is owned by those who adapt to changes.
Hey.
And so, you know, you got to, again, you got to be privy to that. And again, like we talked about with Third Twin, I mean, you know, break stuff down, you know? Know what you're talking about when you're dealing with these kids, you know? Because a lot of times, a lot of the things that we value, a lot of our traditions are just that, just traditions. Something somebody told us a long time ago. Again, like you said, we respect it as gospel. We've never challenged it, never looked into it, don't even know where it came from, and don't even know where it's going.
Right.
You know?
We're living by it.
And with that being said, you know, whatever it is you live by, know what it is. Know where it come from. Know where you're going with it. Know the origination. And know how to, and know the internal mechanics of how it actually works and what it's done for people in general. And if you can't substantiate those things, you know, it's okay to grow, you know, expand your horizons and look at other ways of maintaining your life, other ways of living. And a lot of those things you can learn through your child. You know, they are here on an everyday basis, like dealing with this world. You might just go to work and go home. They on the bus. They in society all day. They on social media all day. They at school. There's people still teaching them stuff when you're not. You know, so much stuff going on, you know, it's like they got information that you just don't have. And if you close-minded to that, how are you going to grow with your child?
Man.
And how are you going to relate to them continuously?
Man.
You know, you're going to draw, you know, you're going to break down the communication efforts, and you guys are not going to have a relationship, you know, because there's going to be nothing to talk about.
Man.
You know, you want to talk about the 80s, and they talking about the 2020s.
Right.
Well, you know, and like, things ain't, I mean.
It's not, and it's never going back. Look, listen, listeners.
All the stores that you went to when you was little.
It's over.
Broke, been Mervin's torn
is
down.
Gone. He said it's over. They ain't opening.
Ain't no Craigos and no none of that. Handy Mart, all gone.
But nah, that's
Kmart, gone.
Out of here. Out of here. They about to tear the one up in Beaverton right now. Even though they was on a 70% off sale for like two decades, but.
Right. You get the point, though.
Yeah, and I just, you know, I feel like we, you know, sum that up good. Just nurture voices. Nothing else, nurture voices. Even if they right. don't have all the words, help them find the words.
Right, right.
Help people find the words. That's what it's about. Everything else to come through. Help give them the words to put them in the room. I talk about it often, and we've talked about it on this show. Language, right? Language. Just understanding the language for whatever room you may be sitting in.
Right.
Things translate. Everything we do here, there's a corporate word for everything we do in here daily. Right. That right now we just think like, oh, we come here, we sit, we talk, we did. There's words for this in language that if we put this in, let's say, a resume, mm-hmm. using the corporate jargon, oh, this big stuff.
Right.
We just don't necessarily know that jargon. And understanding that these kids may not know the jargon to hear, but there's this passion, not even just these kids, just people in general. But they got something in here, and that passion is going to translate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talk about our different speakers, like Eric Thomas. He talk all the time about why he still show up in his Detroit hat,
right.
why he's not dressing up in suits, why he's mm-hmm. here doing this, because what he's saying outweighs all of that.
Right.
That passion is there. Right. And once he figured out that this translates and how to translate this, whether he's at church, mm-hmm. whether he's speaking to one of these, you know, top sports clubs,
mm-hmm.
Fortune 500 company, he knows these little tweak, but he's still bringing him, right? Mm-hmm. But he understands, okay, this is the jargon that's understood here. You know, the analogy that might work here may not work there, so just switch it up a little bit. But again, that passion is what's coming through.
Mm. Yeah.
Found them words.
Found them words, man.
Yes.
You know, it's all internal, like he said. I mean, we really can't be defined anymore. The awareness is too strong. The intelligence is too strong. The knowledge is too deep, you know, and the love is too powerful to be defined by any outfit, any hat, you know, any T-shirt. You know, once you find yourself, none of that matters anymore because you shine way more than that, you know. Hey. And that's very, very important to not be defined externally.
Hey.
You know, and so... And again, man, that's a good word on the kids, man. Good word on the kids. That's very important. Is there's a lot of changes taking place, you know, and, you know, unfortunately or fortunately, however you look at it, I mean, we must adapt to that, you know, especially so that we can stay relevant and our lessons can sort of transfer to the new vibe and energy that's going around. You can keep the same lesson, transfer it to the new energy that's happening in the world so that you're still relevant.
That's something that what you're saying, that is like, there's something, I got a soft spot in my heart anytime I see like grandma, grandpa age out here with the latest technology, doing what they do,
right?
Understanding it though,
right?
They got the iPad over here, it's the phone over here, and know all the connect, know what they doing, because they staying current, they staying up on what's happening. And that's the thing, is I feel like so many people find that spot, and that's the period they stay in, because that's the highlight for them. That's the that's the, hey, everything I needed was right here, but the world keeps moving on,
right?
And then wonder why later it's like just disconnected and angry,
right?
Typically, because it's not that connections, and what you're pulling from is old information.
Exactly.
You're pulling from that and you're trying to put that on onto the news, onto the grandkids, and they're not understanding what you're talking about. There's some core things that always will translate, definitely, but understand that how information gets out,
right?
There's a difference. We get an MP3 of this every time. There was 30 years ago where this was coming out, you know, and I get maybe 40, 50 years ago now, but coming out, you know, on a reel-to-reel. These coming out, these big, long joints, and then a time this was getting done, the ADAT. There's so many ways that this is transitioned over the time,
right?
And being able to keep up with that. I'm not sitting around with, you know, I think the first thumb drive I had, I remember I got my first thumb drive in 2004. It was 28 megabytes.
Mm-hmm.
Thought I was on. I could put like 5 songs on there, but thought I was on. And realizing you can get gigs, multi 32, 64, 128 terabyte thumb drives.
Are you talking thousands, huh?
Oh, just building up, but staying, that's how fast things move, and just having to be up and staying up on what's happening. Not saying to be necessarily a tech guru, but just know what's going on in the world right now, today, because it helps you to be able to communicate in a different type of way.
Right, and quicker, you know. The thing is, the message don't have to change at all, you know. The times have just changed, so keep your message authentic. You know, I mean, you know, you can send a stork or you can send a text, you know, but either way, you know, the message don't change, you know, and that's what's important. So just adapt. Can't make me stop laughing.
Sorry, that's hella funny.
So, you know, the message got to stay authentic, though. It don't mean you got to lose any of your mojo, you know, or your energy. You know, sometimes it just got to be transferred a little bit differently, you know, but still shine with it. But, you know, that's dope. Enough on that one. You know, we coming down to the end of the show. But I just want to remind people to, you know, as rough as things can get, you know, as trying as times are, things you see in the media, the news, things happening in the city, just try to stay grateful if you can. Just keep in mind that you're still alive. You know, you woke up to a sunny day outside. Some people didn't make that day. Some people don't have their freedom right now. You could be in a tough position right now, which I understand, and I'm not trying to discount, but just understand that it could be a lot worse. You listening to the radio, I mean, that's a plus. I don't know where you are, but you have the ability and the mindset, you know, and the mechanics to actually hear what we're saying, and, you know, hopefully outside catching some of the sunshine, maybe calling loved ones, saying hello, you know, just vibing with the energy of life, man, and the universe. I mean, you're alive, you out here, you can do a few things that a lot of people can't right now, even if things aren't in, you know, the most desirable position you like them to be in. So I just try to wake up with gratitude, man. You know, yeah, I like to be in the, you know, in the mansion in the hills, you know, in a robe half butt naked with a mimosa on the balcony, yeah. You know, but you know,
he said bottomless with a shirt on.
You know, but I'm walking downtown with a cappuccino. You know, it's the same thing. You know, when you think about it mentally, it's all about how you feel about yourself. I'm just as happy, man. You know, and just keep that in mind. You know, focus on what you can control. You know, a lot of times we get thrown off by really, really taking personal and taking heart to things that are really out of the realm of our influence. You know, things that we don't have influence over are extremely bothering us to a point to where we don't even want to function, you know. And you got to think about that kind of transfer of power and why that power is distributed, you know, so strongly outside of you. Why does some other situation have all that power, you know? And so think about power and the maintenance of it. You know, and try to keep it inner, you know, keep it inner so you can control how you feel in any given situation. And this doesn't mean things are always perfect. This doesn't mean things go the way you want them. It means you understand imperfection and you understand where you got influence, and you're not going to spend a lot of time harping and crying over things that you can't influence or change at all. You know, and so and this is one of the things that does make people go a little bit crazy in life, you know, overly infatuated with things they have no power over. You know, so spend that time, that energy, that love, those conversations, spend those with people who care, you know, with people who can validate, you know, where you're coming from mentally and can help feed that, you know, and that should make your day a little bit brighter if it's been down at all.
And so, if nothing else, stop, look up at the sky, notice a cloud. Think for a second, smile, and realize that you're able to stop, look up, smile, and see a cloud. With that being said, we're about to wrap this thing up.
Wrap this up, Calculated Conversation. So IG, we on Calculated Conversation.
Bam.
Gmail, Calculated Conversation at Gmail.
Bam.
Twitter, Calculated Talk.
Bam.
Facebook, Calculated Conversation Radio Show.
Bam.
And the website, www.calculatedconversation.com. Tune in, tap in, see you next Tuesday. We appreciate y'all.
Calculate everything.
And we out. Express yourself.
And now I'm living in correctional facilities, cause some don't agree with how I do this. I get straight and meditate like a Buddhist. I'm dropping flavor, my behavior is hereditary, but my technique is very necessary. Blame it on Ice Cube, because he said it get funky when you got a subject and a predicate. Add it on a dope beat and it'll make you think. Some suckers just tickle me pink to my stomach, cause they don't flow like this one. You know what, I won't hesitate to diss one or two before I'm through, so don't try to sing this. Some drop science, well I'm dropping English. Even if Yella makes it a cappella, I still express yo, I don't smoke weed or sex, cause it's known to give a brother brain damage. And brain damage on the mic don't manage nothing but making a sucker in you equal. Don't be another sequel. Spread yourself, do it good. Spread yourself. For the pop chart, so where should a brother like you start expressing yourself, my boy, and show you how your track,
what up,
drop English right about now. Getting back to the PG, that's program, and it's easy. Dre is back, new jacks are made hollow. Expressing ain't the subject because they like to follow the words, the style, the trend. The records I spin again and again and again. Yo, you're on the other end. Watch a brother blend dope rhymes with no help. There's no fessing or guessing while I'm expressing myself. It's crazy to see people be what society wants them to be, but not me. Ruthless is the way to go, they know. Others say rhymes which fail to be original, or they kill where the hip-hop starts. Forget about the ghetto and rap for the pop charts. Though some musicians cuss at home, they're scared to use profanity.
went up on the microphone. Yeah, they want reality, but you hear none. They'd rather exaggerate a little fiction. Some say no to drugs and take a stand, but after the show, they go looking for the dope man. Or they ban my group from the radio here in WA and say hell no. But you know it ain't all about wealth, as long as you make a note to spread yourself.
This is KBOO Portland. KBOO programming has been made possible by KBOO members and listener support from the Rose City Chocolate Festival, May 4th and 5th at the DoubleTree Hotel by Hilton in the Lloyd District, featuring handcrafted work from local and national chocolate makers, including milk chocolate, dark chocolate, specialty bars, truffles, toffee, and more. Open to the public and family friendly. Tickets and more information are available at rosecitychocolate.com.
Going up on a Tuesday. Got your girl in the cut and she choose a club going up.